Beamer in for Bowerly, 410 here at News Radio 930 WBEN. Good afternoon, Thursday, 2 hours down, 2 hours to go, as we continue to grieve, heal, come together, and continue to have questions and getting more and more questions. And that's something we will discuss this hour. My question for you this hour is, well, I mean, anything you want to talk about from the previous two is good as well. But I want to know, how do you reopen the store? What do you think needs to be done to reopen Tops? And, you know, during the break, I'm looking at these pictures on social media of the memorial, the flowers, the candles with Tops in the background. And, you know, this is always going to be a place of remembrance. It's always going to be the site where 10 people lost their lives. I understand what that store means to the community. I understand. I think it's going to be really difficult for some to walk back into that store. 803-0930, star 930. We have Pam in Lockport. Before Pam in Lockport, it is we have Father Paul in the old First Ward on line three. Hey, Father Paul.
Hey, Joe. How you doing today?
I'm doing okay. Father, what do you say about the memorials and what should happen to this site?
Well, I've been listening as much as I can to you during the afternoon, and as far as the site goes, that's up to a wider, much wider community. But I almost think that if the store were to be replaced or torn down, it would almost be as if the shooter is won, you know, in one sense. On the other hand, while the president was in town on Tuesday, I was with our Catholic bishop of the Buffalo Western New York Diocese, Bishop Mike Fisher, and we went down there. And I had been back there on Monday, and I was there Saturday in light of the initial shootings. And I would just say that I was glad we were there kind of not alone, but with the regular folks who were there. And that's the first time since Saturday, this past when the president was here Tuesday morning, that's the first time that I just broke down completely in tears. I went off by myself. I shed some tears. But it's true what you say. When you go back to that Tops, in fact, I went to an Aldi store the other night, and just walking into any supermarket, it seems like you think, you know, this is kind of an overwhelming, sad thought. Last night, I went through a McDonald's, a drive-through, and, you know, the African-American woman at the cash, she said, "How are you doing tonight?" I'm good. But it was funny. It wasn't just this kind of, "How you doing?" "Oh, I'm fine. How are you doing?" And it was both like, "Well, I guess we're doing as well as we can expect." We didn't say anything about, we knew what we were talking about because it so permeated the community. You know, myself, I'd love to see some type of memorialization, some type of new opening. And I'd like to see different members of the community. Yes, the politicians, but especially the peacekeepers and the Fathers for Peace and all of these groups. I'd like to see them walk into that newly opened store arm in arm together with members of the community, because it's going to be, I think, a terrible thing. Like you said, how do you go back into that store? And I'm sure that's one of the big questions, but we almost have to. Last night it was at Canisius College. My niece graduated in the master's program, and she lived near Canisius with her housemates, and that was the supermarket they would often go to, you know. Now, we're white, you know, but what, you know, the victims were black. Some of the victims, one was a white woman, not killed but injured. But, you know, it just seems like we got to stop this division in our country, you know, and in our community. And we will. We have to. We have to. There's no alternative. You know?
Yeah, Father, you know, when people say come together, people are talking about the community coming together. What does that mean to you? Because I hear one thing, and then I go on social media, and I know I shouldn't, you know, judge everything from social media. And I see the opposite. What does coming together mean to you?
You know, John, Jeremy, I'm part of the East Side right now, and I've lost you, and there's a dead spot here. So I cannot hear you at all. So I will try to call you back when I'm in a better spot. I'm at Jefferson and William right now.
All right, Father Paul Sile, when you get a better signal, give us a call back, because I do have a few questions for Father Paul. So hopefully when he gets a better signal, he'll give us a call back. 803-0930, star 930. That's the number if you want to call in. That's the number on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. And it's obviously a question that many people are going to have. As you heard, Topps president at this time does not have the full answer to, but he did say that the store will reopen. And asking you how that will how that should look. 803-0930, star 930. Pam is in Lockport. Now, Pam, thank you for hanging on. You are on.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for filling in for Tom. I wanted to share my experience with all your listeners. Yesterday afternoon, I live in Lockport. I shop at our Topps Plaza on South Transit in Lockport. I pulled in, parked my SUV, locked it, went in the store for a bag of potatoes. Came out, and as ever since Saturday, I have been on pins and needles, just very watching everybody and everything around. So anyway, I'm doing that. Before I got in my SUV, I look up, and then in the next row, an SUV facing me was a young woman with two little kids. They had to be like ages 3 and 4, and she's visibly upset. So I closed my door, I locked it, and I approached her, and I said, "What's wrong? Can I help you?" And she and right beside me when I came out was this big, rust-colored, dented truck, gray. And she said, "I want you to see what I'm seeing." On the back bumpers were stickers of white supremacy, and putting down and it had the N-word, how the white race, I can't say exactly, it was 2 or 3 sentences long, but basically saying that all the whites have to go up against the African-Americans, the Jewish, Hispanic, Orientals.
And this was parked in the Topps parking lot?
Yep.
Ugh.
And in the back of his truck, and it was like an extended cab, inside he had a gun rack. But I didn't see any long guns or rifles or anything. So anyway, she told me that she works at the Jefferson Avenue store. And her husband works at another store, another Topps, and how upset they've been. So I tried my best not to get more upset. I tried to calm her down. We prayed, and then I wished her to be.
Pam, I think we lost you. If you give us a call back, 803-0930, star 930, I think we lost you. I am speechless. I don't know how anyone can drive around with that kind of hate on their car. I don't understand what brings someone. I guess I don't understand how you get so radicalized that you have these beliefs. You know, it's something that it just boggles my mind why anyone would would think that way. You know what I mean? I don't understand people who get just so radicalized that that is the way they think, and that they advertise it. They're putting stuff on their car. They're driving around with that on their car. It's disgusting, and there's no excuse for that. There is no excuse for that. And it's just like these individuals that are calling in threats, these individuals that are putting stuff on social media, threatening stores. There's no excuse for actions like that. It's, you know, when I say we should all look at, hey, you know, we're all Western New Yorkers. We're all Americans. Sure, we have our differences, but to become so radicalized that your life is just fueled by hate, I don't understand how anyone gets to that point. 803-0930, star 930. Pam, if you're listening, please give us a call back. Your phone cut out. I'm starting to think it might be our phones there, Josh, because we lost Father Paul and Pam, so maybe during the break we'll do a reset. Beamer in for Bowerly here on News Radio 930 WBEN. 803-0930, star 930. That is the number to get on. We are talking about how to reopen the Tops on Jefferson Avenue. What would you like to see done to that property? Now, again, and I had this discussion yesterday. Me personally, I would think that needs to become a memorial site and reopen Tops somewhere else. But I don't live in that neighborhood. And the people in that neighborhood say they want that Tops reopened. That is not only a grocery store for them. And if that's what people who live there, people who depend on that store, if that's what they want, then I believe it should happen. But how do we go ahead with reopening it? There obviously has to be a process. Now, someone on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board said, Joe, if I was Tops, I would remodel the entire store. Rebuild the entire inside and make it look different on the inside. And you know what? I think there's a lot of people who work there, who shop there, who would probably say, you know what? That's a start. But I also think you need to have a reminder there, right? The memorial in front of the store, as someone said, on the sidewalk in front. A reminder of what happened. A reminder of this tragedy, in a place for people to go and remember those who were lost, and again, reflect on one of the worst days in Buffalo history. And again, I mean, it's a really delicate path to reopening that store. But as you heard at the press conference, if you're just joining us, the FBI's investigation is done. It has been handed back to Tops. And now it is up to them on what to do. As someone says on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, Joe, why don't we let the people in the neighborhood vote on it? I agree. You know, because I saw this morning on the morning news, you know, they were showing shots of the store. And there's bullet holes in the glass. So a lot of work is still left to be done. And I think that's why it's going to take some time. And I think it makes sense that Tops doesn't have the answer. But if they were to walk up to you and say, give us an idea of how to open the store, what would you say? 803-0930, star 930. That's the phone number. That's the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. We'll talk about that when we come back. I also want to get into a conversation that David Bellavia had earlier today about just how did this individual slip through the cracks? How did this individual get so radicalized, and we're supposed to believe that no one knew it? even though the threats at school, the mental evaluation, killing the cat? Who, you know, we talk about the political finger pointing. Well, who does bear some of the blame? And what do you say about the individuals that were invited to his Twitch video? What do you say about the parents? How about the people that took him into the mental evaluation? How does he get out of that in less than a day after what we know how radicalized this individual was? And what's that process? If someone in your life is showing signs like this individual was, buried in his computer, buried in his phone, the threats at school, how would you address that? We'll talk about that when we come back. It's Beamer in for Bowerly here on WBEN. Welcome back. 4:37 here at News Radio 930 WBEN. Beamer in for Bowerly here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Sorry, said the station twice. We are talking two things I wanted to talk about this segment. What should be done with the Top store? We know those in the neighborhood want the store reopened. Top says they are all set on reopening it. They don't know how that will look just yet, but that they are going to reopen that store. What do you think needs to be done to reopen that store? Is it remodeling the inside? Is it moving that store to a different location and keeping that property a memorial? 803-0930, star 930. And then something David talked about earlier, and I'm interested in talking with you as well, is how does this guy slip through the cracks? I mean, the more that comes out, it just seems to me more and more warning signs. And I want to know from you, how would you address someone in your family, in your social circle, that starts to have any of what this guy has shown? Right? I mean, you look at some of the stuff that was posted to whatever his social media was. You hear about the threats at school. You hear about him killing his cat. How does no one get and say, what is going on with you? And take the computer away. I understand he's 18. But at least try to have a conversation with him. And not just, are you okay? Okay, and walk away. Or alert somebody, like, hey, this guy is saying some crazy things. I think you should look into it. You know, I look at Saturday when this individual is on Twitch inviting people to the video. Now, I have not seen the video. I will not watch the video. I've unfortunately come across a few pictures. I wish I hadn't. But in the beginning of this video, if you are someone who was invited to this video and you see this guy with a gun and what is written on the gun in a supermarket parking lot, are you not calling somebody? Are you not alerting somebody? You're just going to watch this video? Again, and this is me speculating, and I'm assuming, and you know what happens when you assume, but I'm assuming the people that he had invited to watch this video are people who had seen his other social media posts, are people who had seen other things from this individual, maybe knew about the school threats. I don't understand how not one person, and again, I don't know how many were invited, but how one person doesn't say, I think this person's going to do something. You know, I'm putting this together with what he has said. I think he's going to do something. And what about that mental evaluation? after threatening the school. Just able to, you know, is it time to take threats like that more seriously? Should there be something more than just a one-day mental evaluation? And again, I don't want to sit here and do political finger-pointing, but when we're talking about the people that were in this guy's life, what kind of responsibility is on them? If they can't get through to him, alert somebody, alert the authorities. And I'm still struggling to figure out how after the school threats, after what he had threatened, the language that he had used, I'm still struggling to how he was not on a radar. Is that a failure of New York State? Congressman Brian Higgins yesterday on BMAZ and Beamer said as much, that the red flag laws that New York State has should have indicated something. 803-0930, star 930, that's the number to get on. And here's the thing, the more and more that we learn, it seems the more questions we have. And, you know, I know investigators have talked to people from his hometown, have talked to his parents, talked to his school. I'm sure they've talked to those that performed the mental evaluation. I don't really know what goes on at that mental evaluation. I know someone explained it to David in the 1 o'clock hour. But I don't know how you get away from that, especially the language that was used in the threat to the school. But I want to know you. You are observing an individual that is going through all these steps. You have someone living in your house. I'll phrase it as David phrased it. You have someone living in your house who not only threatened a school, killed a cat, and has been glued to their computer. You don't get a hint of something going on. You don't get a hint of radicalization that is going on. And then you look at his social media, and I know Aaron Katursky said that his social media was private. Okay, well, there must have been people that were following it. He wasn't just posting it to nobody. No one that had been following this individual on social media thought to alert somebody, and especially after the threats to the school, that wouldn't be enough to put this on someone's radar. And then I just go to Saturday. And, you know, again, I'm not in that position. I'm not really familiar with Twitch. But if you get invited to this video and you see someone, you see this person in this gear holding a gun, walking out of a car in a grocery store parking lot, you're not calling anyone? You're not alerting anyone? Not one person on Twitch alerted anyone? 803-0930, star 930, that's the number to get on. Asking you those questions. What do you do? And what will you look for now? Are you going to be more tuned in to what people are saying on social media? And not just scroll by if you see something dangerous like this individual was saying. And how should we handle high school students who threatened to shoot the school, to shoot up the school? How should those be handled? Because I am seeing several instances that someone could have stopped this kid, put this kid on a radar. I don't even want to call him a kid, this monster on a radar, and had people on alert. Instead, he was able to assemble arms and drive 3.5 hours to Buffalo. I just don't understand how there was no how the warning signs were missed, how they were missed by the state, how they were missed by the individuals in Conklin, New York, on social media, in the house. I'm sorry. I understand you can be isolated in your house, but this can't all be going on, and the parents think there's nothing wrong. Am I out of line to say that? The school shooting threats, the killing of the cat, locked in their room for days and days. You don't realize something's going on? I don't understand that. How would you react to the warning signs? 803-0930, star 930, and Tops on Jefferson Avenue. We heard Tops, we heard the FBI say that the investigation is over. It's been released back to Tops. How do you reopen that store? What is the right way to approach it? Let's go to Joan in South Wales. Hey, Joan.
Hi. You know, I don't have the answers. I just know that the world is different. I see friends that don't have a clue. Their kids are on the internet from the moment they come home. With COVID, a lot of them were home, and the parents got reports that the kids weren't doing their classwork. They were on the internet, but not just the internet. They're playing war games with guns, and they do this day after day. And the parents don't seem to think that there's anything wrong with it. It's not reality. It's okay. And I get on the internet, and I love animals, and I see all these dogs. They're dumped out of cars, tied to railroad tracks, things that I would find unbelievable if I didn't see pictures. And the response of some of the people are, well, why didn't you do something? You took a picture and you sent it to Facebook, but you did nothing. Where is it?
Right.
And I think that's the problem with all of this. People see things and they don't want to take that step. They don't want to be involved. They don't want to take responsibility. Oh, well, then what do? I bring this dog home? Well, maybe I can't have a dog where I live, you know? And they don't think, well, maybe I can find someplace else to get help. So they just leave, let this go. And I don't know what the answer is, but it's society. Society has fallen on its face. I've been to the Mirtha Building. I've been to the World Trade Center before and after the fall. And the Mirtha Building, for the longest time, had memorials. People left things on fences. And it wasn't beautiful. It was important to the people, though. So if they continue at the store, it would be nice to get a new store somewhere. But is there a space? Are there buildings they could acquire? It's expensive. It won't happen overnight. So maybe the best thing is open this one again and work towards something different. And the food inequality that exists in so many places was fixed by Tops coming in there.
For this Tops, you think reopen it as it is now and try to acquire space for a new one?
Yeah.
And then make this Tops into more of a memorial?
Yes, yes. Like the Wailing Wall in Israel, leave a place for people to leave their feelings. Leave a place for them to talk about it, not just to go to somebody and talk, because some people can't do that. Put a note, you know, leave something, a picture, whatever it is that you need, and make it maybe a conference-type center where, not just now when all this is happening, but for a long time, have different pastors, you know, who's here on Monday, who's here Friday night, youth groups or something, people to get together and talk about all of this, not just here at Tops, but everywhere. I mean, how many people slipped up with the boy in Florida with the shooting? His mother, the woman that adopted him, called the police. She called authorities. She was afraid of him, and yet nobody helped her. And the fellow that shot his own mother, I mean, somebody must have known. They said afterwards he had mental health issues. Well, then why wasn't he treated? Why was he living at home and with his mother continuing this insanity on the internet? And Columbine was before the internet. Where were those parents?
Yep.
They lived there. But, you know, sometimes a single parent, sometimes it's two parents working constantly, come home, make dinner, eat dinner and think, I'm entitled to sit down and relax. And then the kids are doing heaven knows what. I don't know any parent that monitors their kids' phones or monitors what they watch. And maybe the kids or the people thought he was bragging, you know, about killing cats or things like that. You know, I don't know if they truly believed it, because it's kind of hard to think of somebody who grew up with being like this. So there's so many problems. And where do you take somebody like that now?
Joan, thank you for the call. Joan in South Wales. It is 4:52. We'll get to traffic in 1 second. But, you know, the point that Joan brings up about, you know, coming home, not talking with your kids, not knowing what they're doing. You know, we hear that time and time again. But, and I don't disagree with that. However, it was more than just that with this individual. You had the threatening of the school. You had the killing of the cat. And you had the language on social media. And then you had the video that started before the racist shooting at Tops, and no one said anything in any of those instances. That is where I'm kind of hung up, and that's also where I'm asking you, how do we address this? How would you address this if you saw these warning signs? And is Joan right? Are too many people just blind to it or don't want to deal with it? I have to say that shouldn't be an option. Not dealing with it should not be an option. What is the appropriate way, in your opinion, to reopen this Tops on Jefferson Avenue? Where should the memorial be? What should that be? And then on this individual, and again, this monster, where did we miss the warning signs? Where did the state miss the warning signs? Where did the social media followers? Where did the parents? And if you saw just one of the several warning signs, how would you address it? How are you addressing it? 803-0930, *930. That's the number to get on. And we are taking calls right after the news here on News Radio 930 WBEN.